Bandersnatch is really about the nitty-gritty, day-to-day, eyeball-to-eyeball collaboration of these authors as they work together side by side.
Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Today's show is an interview I had with Dr. Diana Glier several months ago about her forthcoming book, Bandersnatch. I caught up with Diana at the end of the C.S. Lewis and Inkling Society conference that was held in late March 2015. As you may recall, I previously shared a panel discussion with her and Dr. Jerry Root from that conference, which is held annually at different locations. Although Bandersnatch is not set to release until December 2015, at the time of the recording, it was hoped that it would be available for pre-order sooner than now. Of course, if you are listening to this later than when I'm releasing this interview in September 2015, then you won't have to wait to get a copy. Diana Glier is best known for her book, The Company They Keep, and I actually did an interview with her about that several years ago. One of the reasons I mention this is because Bandersnatch is actually an adaptation of that earlier title. Learn all the details as you continue to listen. Well, Diana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here.
Well, now, we're meeting here at the end of the C.S. Lewis and Inkling Society at Grove City 2015, and your book is not yet out. When some people might listen to this, it may be already out. Right now, it's scheduled for December of 2015. But we're talking about Bandersnatch, and there was a last-minute change to the subtitle. So first, maybe briefly note the connection with Lewis. Explain that, and then give the subtitle.
So the new book is called Bandersnatch, and that comes from a statement that C.S. Lewis made when he was talking about Tolkien. And he famously said that no one ever influenced Tolkien. You might as well try to influence a bandersnatch. And that's an interesting observation, but actually, Lewis was wrong. Tolkien was very strongly influenced by Lewis in particular and by the Inklings in general. And so in The Company They Keep, I explore that influence in great detail. But in Bandersnatch, I take a lighter look at their interaction and their collaboration together. Bandersnatch's original subtitle was The Creative Genius of Lewis, Tolkien, and the Inklings, but my publisher did not like that subtitle. So after doing a survey on Facebook and asking a lot of trusted friends, the new subtitle for Bandersnatch is C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, and the Creative Collaboration of the Inklings.
Now, you already made reference to The Company They Keep. And I already know the answer to this question, but some people are going, well, wait a minute, is this book similar or different? How is it similar or different than The Company They Keep?
Well, the origin of Bandersnatch is a couple of years ago when I realized that while I'm fascinated by every last detail of the Inklings and their interaction, not everybody has the same appetite for all of the details of that friendship and that collaboration. And it occurred to me it might be of value to do an abridged and adapted edition of Company They Keep, to take out some of the scholarly apparatus, to take out a little bit of the argumentative voice that you see in that book, and just to really focus on some of the best stories of how Lewis, Tolkien, and the Inklings collaborated together. So Bandersnatch is, in a way, an abridged and adapted version of my book, The Company They Keep, but it also has kind of a unique or special quality of its own, because while Company They Keep really talks more about the influence of the Inklings and different aspects of influence to try to expand our understanding of that literary term, what Bandersnatch does is focus specifically on collaboration. And it does have one big, big difference from Company They Keep, and that's that it's got a little bit more of the how-to part of it. So there's a new chapter that I've written called Doing What the Inklings Did, and I try in that chapter to help people see that Lewis and Tolkien did something very wonderful, but not something very rare. Their collaboration is inspiring to us, and it can serve as a model for some of the collaboration that we might want to engage in as creative writers and also as scholars.
Now, you mentioned a new chapter, but go ahead and maybe give an overview of the general structure and you know, again, how it's similar and different from The Company They Keep.
Well, Bandersnatch opens with a description and discussion of the Inklings, how they got together, how they functioned, what they did when they got together, who was part of that group, and how much fun they had when they got together as they met on Thursdays and also again on Tuesdays. And then, like Company They Keep, I go through various kinds of interaction and influence. I talk about the importance of the encouragement that they had for each other, because I think it's so key for people in creative fields to realize we need encouragement and support from other people who understand what it is that we're attempting. I talk a little bit about conflict and the way that we need people who can also say, you know what, I think you're on the wrong track. I think that might be a dead end, and who save us from that kind of folly. I talk a little bit about how they edited each other's work, how they actually got up to their elbows in each other's prose and rewrote sections of what each other had written. As they were reading things out loud, they made very specific suggestions to one another. And I also continue in Bandersnatch, as I did in Company They Keep, to look at the idea of them as reference. That is, they refer to one another, write about each other, include each other as characters in their book. So at the end of each of these sections in Bandersnatch, I have sort of a reflection section, again trying to draw our attention to some of the principles of the creative process that the Inklings are modeling for us and ways that we can do the same. I was very encouraged to hear from two different freshman writing teachers who've already decided to use this book in a writing class as something that college students might read to get inspired and a little bit of instruction about their own writing and their own creative work.
Now, one additional difference about this book is the illustrations. Can you tell us who's illustrating that and why and how that process came to be?
I am so excited about the illustrations for this. I met James A. Owen at a MythCon, and our mutual friend, Sarah, introduced us. We were both guests at this particular conference, and we realized we had a lot in common. The work that James does as an author and as an artist is really, really fine, and he has a keen interest, not just in Lewis or Tolkien, but in the Inklings as a group. And he's written a series of young adult novels, the Imaginarium Geographica. And in those books, Lewis, Tolkien, and Williams are the main characters in a great adventure. They're terrific. But he's also a really remarkable artist. He does line drawings, detailed line drawings that have the texture and the quality of old turn-of-the-century etchings. They're lovely and detailed, and I've been very excited about his work as an artist as well as his work as an author. And so when I got the idea to do Bandersnatch, immediately I had a picture in my head of what it might be to have a James Owen cover on the book, because I love his work so much. And then I thought, why not go for broke and ask him if he would do interior illustrations for each chapter? So it seemed like an impossible dream, and that's exactly the way that I proposed it to him. I said, this would just be very cool. I know it couldn't possibly happen, but do you think you might be willing to do these illustrations? And we talked, and he was willing to do it, and I'm very, very excited about the value that that will add to the whole book and the ethos of it.
Now, you were sharing at your talk at Grove City for the C.S. Lewis and Inkling Society about some of the process. I don't know if you would mind maybe sharing about that in terms of how you decide to, you know, somewhat revise or that revision process, or did you do some stuff from, you know, totally starting over? What was the process like?
Well, I was really grateful to have two research assistants who were willing to devote some time over a 14-month period of going through Company They Keep. We looked very carefully at the text, and we tried to get down to the core of it, the most exciting stories and the most important observations about the interaction of the Inklings. We also wanted to change the language so that it was more accessible than Company They Keep, although I think that that's a fairly accessible book. But we just wanted to make it a little easier to read all the way through and to have a little bit faster pace as you're going through. So we worked together once a week. My research assistants would come over to my house, and I would cook them dinner. And then we would read out loud the various paragraphs, and then we would make decisions about what to include, what to exclude, and what to modify a little bit. After we worked together as a team over the many months, then I went back and reworked the thing. What was really challenging for me is the last chapter. I had set aside about 4 weeks to completely revise that last chapter, chapter 8. It just gave me fits. I couldn't seem to quite get it to do what I wanted it to do. And as I shared at the banquet speech, it occurred to me after about 4 weeks of trying that instead of trying to shove the information in the direction I thought it should go, maybe I should listen to the work itself and try to understand what it wanted to tell me. I think that one of the characteristics of a good writer is continuing to be teachable, and somehow creative work, if it's good creative work, I think develops a kind of mind of its own. So I spent several days simply trying to listen to the material and see what it wanted to show me. And what it did is it emphasized for me one of the big differences between Bandersnatch and Company They Keep. Company They Keep is really a book about influence, about literary influence. But Bandersnatch is really about the nitty-gritty, day-to-day, eyeball-to-eyeball collaboration of these authors as they work together side by side. And so once I caught that vision, Chapter 8 was very easy to write. I draw somewhat from Joshua Schenck's book, Powers of Two, where he talks about the importance of dyads, which has been one of the themes of the conference here. And that's also, in many ways, the kind of emphasis of the last chapter of Bandersnatch. And I think that that's where some of the added value will come from for readers, that value of seeing what it actually looks like for writers to work together.
And again, this book is forthcoming at the time of this recording at the end of March 2015. It's scheduled to be released in December 2015, Bandersnatch, and we encourage people to check that out, even order it in advance if you're hearing this before it is still out. Let me take a moment, though, and there's another future project to look forward to, even for those who listen to this later. Someone related to Lewis that you're working on, what's going on there?
Well, now, I turned in the manuscript to Bandersnatch just 2 weeks ago, so that's a brand new project. And do check it out on Amazon.com, and you'll get to see a little peek of the cover art and the good work that James A. Owen is doing on that. But the next project that I'm going to be turning my attention to is some work with Warren Lewis. I was really privileged to discover some letters that Warren Lewis wrote late in his life to a missionary doctor, Blanche Biggs, who was living in Papua New Guinea at the time. Their correspondence is a beautiful story. And one of the remarkable things about these letters is it teaches us so much about Warren Lewis that we've never known before. So I'll be working throughout the summer to try to edit these letters and write a little bit about them to help us understand Warren Lewis better than we ever have before. And I'm very excited about turning my attention to that project.
Sounds great. Well, we look forward to that. Any proposed 16, 2017, 2018, 19, 20, 21?
Well, I might just add that the name of that project is The Major and the Missionary, a love story. And so that's the next project coming up. And after that, I'll have a little bit of time to focus on something I've become quite interested in. I've really been wanting to write something on Dante. And so I have a sabbatical from APU. And I'll be turning my attention during that sabbatical to write on Dante.
Sounds great again. Well, Diana, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, and thank you for listening to my interview with Dr. Diana Glier about Bandersnatch, C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, and the creative collaboration of the Inklings. At the time I'm releasing this interview, the cover art for the book wasn't available and there is no book preview. However, if you are listening to this later than early September 2015, then hopefully that has changed. Either way, there is a link in the show notes to easily find the listing on Amazon.com, as well as a link to Diana's website and the panel discussion mentioned at the start of the show. Plus, don't forget about the previous interview I had with her about her earlier book. You can find those links by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllAboutJack.podbean.com, which is where the audio files are hosted. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Again, that's AllAboutJack.podbean.com. If you go to the other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, you can still get to this podcast. Plus, I have a variety of other articles there as well, including a new series examining quotations alleged to be from C.S. Lewis. Additionally, I also share a daily fact, quote, and quiz at EssentialCSLewis.com. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about the program online and consider listening to other shows. Recent ones include a conversation with Roger White about C.S. Lewis and his circle, and an interview with Carolyn Curtis about a book she co-edited called Women and C.S. Lewis. Older episodes to consider listening to are my chat with Dr. David Downing about The Pilgrim's Regress, Wade Annotated Edition, and a talk by Dr. Don Williams he gave me permission to share called C.S. Lewis as Theologian. Again, you can hear those and others by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, email them to info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that's info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Finally, did you know that you can help make sure this podcast is freely available to all? Consider becoming a financial supporter of this podcast to make sure it continues. There's a link in the show notes about this. Contributions can be as little as $1 a month, and there are some great rewards possible.